We have been reading from the Acts of the Apostles for the past 6 weeks, and there's still one more week to go. In past years, I've regarded this post-Easter journey through Acts merely as a ramble through early church history, sometimes exciting, sometimes more tedious. Of course, I've always admired the self-sacrifice and perseverance of those early Christian missionaries like Paul and Barnabas as they tramped from pillar to post throughout the vast Mediterranean world, preaching the good news about Jesus. Occasionally, in more contemplative moments, I was even able to catch a glimpse of God accompanying these missionaries, steadfastly encouraging them in their difficulties and enhancing their efforts at touching the hearts of new believers. But I have to admit, my reading was mostly retrospective, always looking backwards, observing how God had acted in the past. This year, however, there was something different in my reading of Acts. In addition to that retrospective reading, I felt drawn by God into a more actualized reading. In other words, seeing not just how God acted back then, but also sensing how God continues to act in the church today. For instance, when I read about the activities of Paul and Barnabas a couple of weeks ago, I could almost hear God say, "But this is how I wish church leaders would behave today." Last week, when I considered how the Holy Spirit led the apostles to repeal an onerous rule for new Christians, I sensed God pleading with us, "Stop making the lives of Christians today more burdensome than they already are." As I reflected on the Spirit-filled leadership of Lydia, Prisca, and Phoebe the other day, I felt sadness as our church continues to disregard the ministerial gifts of women. In today's reading from Acts, a new actor makes his debut, and as I ponder his life, it leads me in the same direction. Forward, not backwards. I find myself not simply captivated by the story of Apollos. I hear God asking, "Is your heart sensitive enough to capture what I'm inviting you to today?" So who's this Apollos? Well, St. Luke deftly sketches him for us in 6 concise phrases. He was a Jew, a native of Alexandria, an eloquent speaker, an authority on the scriptures. He spoke to others about Jesus with passion, and he taught them about Jesus accurately. Let's examine those 6 descriptors a bit more closely. As a Jew, Apollos stands in continuity with Jesus and the original church leaders in their appreciation of God's loving faithfulness toward human beings since the creation of the world. As an Alexandrian, he enjoyed a more cosmopolitan outlook than Paul, who was from backwaters Tarsus, and a more sophisticated perspective than Peter, from parochial Galilee. Alexandria, after all, was one of the largest, wealthiest, and most diverse cities in the ancient Middle East. The translation the church uses for this morning's reading continues by identifying Apollos as an eloquent speaker, but the Greek word used, logios, means both eloquent and learned at the same time. In other words, Apollos knew what he was talking about and could make his point skillfully and graciously. Quite a talent. Our translation also describes him, although rather drearily, as an authority on the scriptures. But the original text uses a more vigorous word, dynatos. We get the English word dynamo from that Greek word. Dynatos indicates to us that Apollos was dynamic and incisive, both in his familiarity with Scripture as well as in his ability to crack open the Word of God to reveal its inner meaning. Finally, Luke tells us that Apollos spoke passionately about Jesus and taught about him accurately. Well, if I were on a search committee for a new archbishop, And if our church ever returns to the practice of local election of leaders, Luke's description of Apollos would provide the perfect template. On second thought, there's no reason to limit this description to up-and-coming hierarchs. It's actually an excellent description of anyone who aspires to be a serious disciple of Jesus. As the younger siblings of the Jews, we Christians too cherish the memory of how God has acted with unfailing kindness toward us since the time of Adam and Eve, Abraham and Sarah, Moses and Miriam. While not necessarily cosmopolitan, as modern-day disciples, we're called, in the name of Jesus, to be opening and welcoming to all people, even non-religious people. We celebrate with them the values we hold in common, and we search diligently to understand how God works in their lives by encouraging them in gospel values like forbearance and forgiveness. Perhaps we are not all equally eloquent or learned or dynamic in our knowledge of Scripture, but as Jesus promised disciples, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. In other words, the Holy Spirit will crack open the Word of God and reveal its meaning to all of us who sincerely desire to know it. But that requires some work on our part. 55 years ago, Vatican II encouraged us Catholics to pick up the Bible and study it, a practice hitherto frowned upon. Nevertheless, for the most part, we still haven't developed a meaningful habit of immersing ourselves in God's Word by study and prayerful reflection, especially not in the Old Testament. To speak passionately to others about Jesus means to speak about him from our own experience. It's to know that we are sinners and yet still called by God to be companions of his Son, Jesus. When we grasp that incredibly good news, well, how can we keep from singing about him to others? To teach about Jesus accurately means, I think, to teach by our actions. After all, actions speak louder than words. Rather than accurately, perhaps a better word might be coherently. Is our preaching to others about Jesus reflected in our practical attempts to follow the path he traced during his lifetime by loving, serving, and forgiving others? Church tradition teaches that in the 9 days between Ascension Thursday and Pentecost Sunday, the apostles gathered together and prayed strenuously for the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. That's where we get the prayer form called Novena, 9 days of earnest prayer. We're in that novena period now, so let's beg God once again to pour out his Spirit abundantly and to renew the face of the earth. Let's ask Apollos to pray for us too, that through the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we might grow into that description of discipleship that he so admirably exemplified. May God bless you and give you health.